This is Signal 337, the podcast for the innately curious and creative. Hi, friends. This is Tim McKenna, and this is another episode of Signal 337. This is episode 3. Today is November 5th, 2019. It is 8:30 p.m., and I am broadcasting from my basement office studio / storage area. So, as a follow-up from episode 2, I wanted to talk about conferences this episode. Work conferences, design conferences, stuff that your company may be putting on, the whole gamut of the topic around conferences. And I really feel that conferences are great opportunities, great events to learn industry-specific strategies, experiences that you will get nowhere else but from the speakers who are sharing them with you. You might see some talks online, but they're not quite as poignant if you're not attending. I want to talk a little bit about your first time attending a conference and your first time also speaking at a conference, and some strategies, some tactics, techniques that will help you in your first conference experience, or help you become even more successful in future conferences. So let me back up about a month ago. It was at my first NIC work conference. And this was an interesting one because this was our technology conference. This is typically geared towards developers at our company. And this conference is nationwide. So all of the offices, they come to Kansas City, and I get to meet colleagues of mine from the other offices, from Hawaii, from Iowa, from Louisiana, and Vermont, and all the other states. So this was interesting because last year, right around this time last year, was the tech conference as well. And I couldn't attend because my son was just about to be ready to be joining us in the world. So couldn't go last year. So this year, back in the summer, there was a call for volunteers to help plan the tracks of talks at this year's tech conference. So without any knowledge of how these conferences usually go, without ever attending one, I totally wrote back in an email, said, hell yeah, I'll help out with this. That was maybe ill-advised, but I had a great time doing this. So as an outsider who came in, had no knowledge, no institutional kind of like thinking for everything, I asked a bunch of other designers in our Slack channel, like, hey, gonna be planning this, anybody want to you know be part of, like, how can we plan out the tracks? And I had a lot of folks that, you know, from the company that helped me out, and I think we did a damn good job of planning a track of design talks at a developer conference that got a lot of people thinking, understood the value of design at our company, and also created a lot of validation and camaraderie with our fellow design colleagues across the company. So I want to quickly shout out and thank Kristen and Tyler as part of my team, who also gave talks on the first day. My design committee folks, Patrick, Andrew, Matt, they were all instrumental in helping to create this conference experience that really got rave reviews. So big shout out to them. So as I looked around the room at all the attendees during these talks at our tech conference, it got me thinking about my first conference experience and, you know, where I started off with as an attendee, or actually my first conference experience was running logistics and live tweeting at a medical conference of all things. When I went from there almost 10 years ago to now, you know, helping out with planning, I do a lot of speaking, and I remember looking around the room at all the attendees in our talk on data visualization in particular, because the room was packed, thinking about how many of these folks, this is their first conference experience. Is this something that they've done before? Have they been to a conference before? Is this what they're expecting? How are they feeling about the subject matter? Are they going to take away, you know, good, you know, tidbits of knowledge and stuff that's going to help them? I started thinking about all this, and that's why I wanted to talk about this experience and talk about conferences in general, because I do believe that they're a very positive thing. They can be incredibly helpful in your career, whether you speak at them or not. Just attending them, I believe, is just a super valuable thing for professional development. And I have some techniques and tips on how to survive the conference experience. So 10 years ago, first conference I went to was for a medical conference. I don't work in medicine. I'm not a physician. I don't work in any of that at all. I worked as a designer for a nonprofit that supported family physicians in Pennsylvania. I was the digital Swiss Army knife of the Pennsylvania Academy of Family Physicians. They always put on several medical conferences for physicians. And my first conference experience was to run support, make sure that the AV equipment was all set up, make sure that physicians knew how to plug in their HDMI cord to their computer. And then I was also tasked with, as the social media guy at the time, I was tasked with live tweeting, live social updates throughout the entire conference. So I was kind of an attendee / support staff. And completely different experience going from a medical conference to a design conference, something that was way more in my purview, my actual work that I do. The first conference that I went to as a designer, as a conference was for design, was Generate Conference in New York. I think it was the first Generate Conference that they had in New York in 2014-ish, I think it was, or 2012. I can't remember. I'm old. I can't remember anything anymore. So I was really interested. I really wanted to go to this conference, and I was nervous. I didn't know, like, shit, am I going to know what the hell the speakers are talking about? I had no idea. I saw a talk on ethnography, and I was like, what the hell is that at the time? This was still when I was still much of a graphic designer. I didn't know anything about user experience or research or anything like that. So I saw a thing on ethnographic studies and what was it, task analysis, contextual inquiry. I had no idea what I was getting into. So I had this irrational fear, like, oh my God, like imposter syndrome is sitting in. Am I going to know what they're talking about? Am I going to, you know, stick out like a sore thumb? Like, oh, hey, there's the noob who's sitting there all by himself, furiously taking notes because he doesn't understand any of this. I was actually really concerned about that. And I was deathly afraid of talking to people at the conference, like other attendees, you know, being afraid of like, blah, 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 like, hey, I'm the new guy who doesn't know anything, teach me. I was afraid of being like looked at as like, whatever, you don't understand, like you don't get this. I was afraid of like a little bit of a gatekeeper mentality keeping me back, and I didn't want to look stupid. I really did not want to come off as someone who just, you could just completely write off. So my fears were kind of alleviated when I talked with my boss at the time about this. I said, look, man, I really want to go to this conference, but I don't know jack about these things. But I think that if I go, and this will give me a starting place to kind of like bounce off of and then learn more so I can be more effective here. So he shared with me some tips, some things to kind of keep in the back of my mind when I go. And he said, number one is that everyone's making it up as they go along. And I laughed when he first told me that. I said, he's like, no, absolutely. Anyone who says they're a self-proclaimed expert, they're not. And I was like, well, what about the speakers? You know, someone thinks they're an expert because they're giving this talk on it. And he's like, yeah, but you know what? They're all still people too. You know, you're not going to be the only person who feels like they are a fish out of water. You're not going to be the only person who feels a little bit intimidated, maybe a little imposter syndrome setting in. So first and foremost, that you're not alone in this. And that honestly didn't bring a lot of comfort to me. But the next thing he said was kind of interesting, is that a lot of people come to these conferences to learn from each other. And not just the speakers, but learn from each other. You're going to go to this conference and you're going to learn that other people who are writing, you know, jQuery or JavaScript, the problems that they're having. And you're going to have run into, they're going to have the same problems that you're having. And they're going to want to learn, like, oh, what did you do for this? So a lot of the times attendees are interested in learning from other attendees, their experiences, their solutions, their insights, just as much as they're interested in learning from the speakers. That made me feel just a little bit better. It's like, okay, you know, I'm not completely alone, and hell, I might even have something to add to the conversation now. And that's when he then talked to me about actually getting in the conversation. And I remember him telling me this, is that, you know, networking sounds like a dirty word. And I said, well, you know, if you work in IT, networking has a completely different definition. But he says, yeah, but look, when you are at a conference and you hear the business networking, like, what does that first come to your mind? And for me, it just sounded like schmoozy old white dudes kind of like patting themselves on the back. And he's like, all that networking is having conversations with people, remembering that they have some things they can help you out with, and you've got some things that you can help them out with. I'm like, yeah, it sounds a little like, you know, hey, I got something I can help you out with. And it's like, don't look at it that way. He asked him, give me an example. He's like, well, you know, you might be in a conference setting, and after the conference session, you might be talking with a group of people. You might slowly start to kind of filter into a group. You might hear one person talking, and you start to kind of listen to them. And naturally, a lot of the times, 9 times out of 10, the group will kind of see that you're listening too, and they'll kind of make room for you. And you might be having this time listening to this person, and you're like, oh, wait, I got a solution for that. Like, maybe they're talking about a problem or something, or maybe they're talking about an experience. And you're like, oh, I can relate to that. I had something very similar happen. And over the course of natural conversation, you start to build a little bit of rapport, introduce yourself, and, you know, you might find an opportunity then where, like, hey, yeah, if ever you have an idea or something, we can bounce, you know, ideas off each other. Yeah, here's my information. Now, at the time, business cards were still, like, super huge. People always brought their business card. And he told me this. He's like, take your business card and look at the back of it. And I thought this was interesting because we didn't have a back to our business card. We didn't have anything on the back. It was just plain white. And I said, all right, well, there's nothing here. And he's like, so you're talking to somebody, and it's a certain topic. You know, say it's front-end development related or something that you saw with jQuery or whatever. Take the back of your card and write down, like, hey, man, I'm Tim. We were talking about such and such. My contact information's on the front. And I thought that was ingenious. I'm like, oh, man, I never thought about that. All business card backs should just be flat white then. So that way you can, if you give a card out to somebody, you can give them a little bit more context as to, after the conference, like, who was that guy? What was his name? Why do I have this random business card again? Now you can, you know, make it a little bit more contextual. So that was still when business cards, I feel, were, like, super huge. But nowadays, Twitter or Instagram or however else, usually Twitter for my case, people are like, oh, yeah, just add me on Twitter. Cool. Send you a direct message. That works. I was starting to feel a little bit better about, like, okay, you know, prepared for conference and talking with folks. And he says, look, everyone has been there. They've all learned and come up. And 9 times out of 10, most people are going to be super open with you. It's like that one time in 10 where you're going to have some gatekeepers, you're going to have some bro-y kind of assholes, or you're just going to run into a lot of weirdness, or just flat-out wrong behavior. Move on from it. And if it's something that's blatantly like wrong, report it. And I thought that was interesting. I've been to a few conferences where I've seen clear violations of the code of conduct, kind of sexist attitudes and discriminatory attitudes towards different attendees of the conference, and that shit can't be tolerated. So I've definitely reported people at conferences like, hey, I witnessed this guy do this. Like, this is not cool. This is not part of your code of conduct. And people have taken steps to rectify it. I think I've been very lucky in my experience that almost all of my conference experiences have been super open, super inclusive, very welcoming, and always had an attitude or an atmosphere of, hey, you like this. Let's like this thing together and let's help each other out to, you know, push the industry forward. That's been my experience, but I have heard and I have witnessed others who have not had that experience. So I think it's incredibly important that when you are looking at a conference to attend, is to look up their code of conduct and what they expect out of attendees, what they expect out of speakers, what they expect out of their support staff. More and more conferences I have seen have included a code of conduct and some general rules of like, hey, you're going to come to this. Here's the stuff. Here's how we run things. If you can't get behind this, this is not your conference then. And I'm super appreciative of that because it gives something on record that says, hey, we're not going to tolerate certain behaviors. We don't want that here. We don't want to propose. We don't want that to be fortified and continued from here. We want to change the paradigm. So a good code of conduct is something to be on the lookout for when you're looking at a conference to attend, because by most default with codes of conduct, they're helping to make the environment inclusive and as welcoming as possible. And that benefits everybody who attends. So that's something for you to take a look at as an attendee to make sure that you are going to have support and there is something written that states this is how we're going to conduct ourselves at this event. Other thing that my boss told me that I found really helpful was that when you take notes during a session, you know, take notes. Don't be glued to your computer. He says that's somewhat hard considering like if there's a lot of slides and you're following them, he's whatever. But take notes, be an active listener. Give some indications that you are listening, not your head down the whole time. And be prepared with at least one question that you would like to ask the speaker. You don't have to have a whole armada of questions. You don't have to have a whole array of things. But if you had at least one question that you'd like to ask the speaker, throughout your notes, be able to coalesce into something towards the end of the talk, whether there is a QA section or if it's a panel or maybe even ready like after the session, if you could go up to the speaker, what would be the one question that you would like for them to answer? This does a couple things. This helps to kind of formulate your note-taking and then come away with something that you'd like to get more for clarification on, and that makes your notes a little bit more actionable. Not just instead of just copying everything down that the person is saying or showing on their screen, but it makes it a little bit more contextual. The other thing that it does is that speakers are sometimes paid, sometimes not, but they do spend a lot of time preparing their talks, preparing their slides, preparing to be part of a workshop, all these different things. It's work. Show them that you not only value them by attending the session, but if you have a question that you'd like to ask them, a lot of speakers would relish those questions and love to have an interaction beyond just the route of just speaking. There's been many times where I've seen sessions where they've had 10 minutes of Q&A time that nobody asked anything. And I've seen the speaker stand there like, you know, hey, you got a question? Did anything I go through too fast or anything? And nothing. So I'm like, okay, well, thanks. I appreciate it. Slides are on Twitter. Here you go. Bye. And That's a little demoralizing, at least in my perspective. It's a little demoralizing. You put all that work in, there's no questions afterwards. And, you know, I understand that some people may feel very on the spot by asking a question to the speaker in a room with anywhere from 10 to 100, you know, attendees in the room, you know, be it whatever. That might be a little intimidating, but there's always the ability to maybe go up after them or follow up with them via their preferred contact method, email. So that is always something that I would suggest, is to take the notes you hear from a session, and if you have the ability to ask one question, you know, try to as much as possible. Here's another good one. This one's a little bit more environmental in this regards, but go comfortable. Now, not every conference is going to be, you know, business attire. Most of them are pretty laid back, at least the ones that I've been to. But, you know, there might be some conferences where business attire is expected. You know, business conferences, you know, executive leadership conferences, association conferences, stuff like that, where business attire is required. Because of the nature of the conversations and whatnot, the type of programming that the conference may have. But a lot of times when I go to design conferences or development conferences or stuff, I dress in jeans, hoodie, and a t-shirt, and I go pretty comfortable. So regardless of the attire, find an outfit that you can spend all day in, something that's not going to be super restrictive or make you feel rigid, or make you just feel uncomfortable. Go in a way that's going to make you feel comfortable. Doesn't mean that you should roll in with pajamas and fluffy, you know, shoes and everything, you know, slippers and whatnot. Wouldn't suggest that. I've seen that, but whatever. But definitely go comfortable. And it's going to take a little bit more thought with the ones where you have to go business attire. That's something that, you know, find a good outfit, find a good, you know, attire that you can feel comfortable in all day that is going to meet the requirements of the attire appropriation. So definitely go comfortable, because the last thing that you want to be worrying about is feeling uncomfortable in the clothes that you're in, and that's going to be distracting to you and to your experience. So, yeah, I think that pretty much covers what I was going to say for attendee. I'm sure there's other ones. I have some personal ones that I do that are kind of more personal to me. I like to put my business cards, you know, in my pocket. I only carry so much with me. I try to make sure all my stuff is charged. I don't like to try to find a random outlet at a conference venue and try to plug my phone in. So go charged, go prepared with enough stuff. Bring notes, bring a notebook, bring a pen, you know, stuff like that. I tend to not be so involved with the after parties or the after events, like the wind downs or, you know, the things afterwards. I usually have had my fill towards then, and I also don't want to be in an environment where there's a whole bunch of drinking involved. That's just not my scene. So that's kind of how I do stuff from an attendee perspective. But I'd be very curious to hear, you know, some of your own experiences, first time going to a conference, tips and tricks that you would share with folks going to one for the first time. So now let's flip it. Let's go and talk about your first time going to speak at a conference. Maybe you've been to a couple of conferences, you've listened to a bunch of sessions, and you know, you've really got it in your head, you know what, I can do that same thing. I can get up there and talk about stuff. I have some experiences and insights and, you know, research that I think that people will be very much interested in. So you find a conference that might be having a call for speakers or a call for proposals. You find them online, or you maybe even ask the conference organizers at a conference you'd like to go to, like, hey, how does one get involved to be a speaker here? So you find one that's kind of in your alley, you know, up your alley, you know, something that's going to be the right type of audience that you want to go and share stuff with. I have definitely screwed that up where I have talked about design thinking to medical association executives who couldn't care less about design thinking, let alone even know what the hell it meant. So you want to find the right audience, the right conference, the right group of people who are going to appreciate your talk, your session. So if you're looking at a couple of conferences and they have calls for speakers, take a look at a couple of things. Look at their code of conduct. Look at, you know, what they're looking for in sessions. You know, are they looking for more like tactical workshop stuff? Are they looking for like 30-minute talks? Are they looking for hour-long talks? Do they have some considerations around like what type of talks that are kind of permitted? Should it be more educational? Can it be more case study? Those things of those natures. That'll help to figure out for you like what you would need to prepare for one. Now, conference speakers are sometimes paid, sometimes not. There is a lot of contention around this on Design Twitter and a lot of other places, and I get both sides of it. And so let me break this down for you. I speak at a lot of WordCamps, which are, you know, WordPress 1-day, 2-day conferences. They're all volunteer run. They're usually put on by a WordPress meetup that's in the area, and they get support from Automattic and a few built-in sponsors for stuff, but all the people who actually run the logistics, plan the conference, it's all volunteer, and they put speaker proposals out, and it's also all volunteer, and they're pretty upfront with that. They're like, look, these are not paid positions, these are not paid speaking gigs, it's all volunteer, you can submit a talk as you wish. You know, it's good experience to get in front of a group, you know, at a WordCamp and share stuff. You know, it's my experience with talking at WordCamps. I think the largest group I ever spoke to was 80 people at a WordCamp. It was at a WordCamp Philadelphia a number of years ago. So that was one of the larger groups that I spoke to at a WordCamp, and you know, it was completely unpaid, and I knew it going into it, and I was fine with that. But there are other conferences that are put on by, you know, certain companies or certain organizations, and they bring in some of the more well-known conference speakers on the circuit that are in leadership roles or have a massive presence online, or different companies are well-known, and they would typically pay for the speakers. Now, that is not always the case, though. There are still a lot of conferences that bring in big crowds, like, you know, several hundred thousand, 2,000 people that they don't pay at all. So what I would suggest is when you're looking at a conference that you would like to be included as a speaker or like to be considered for it, take a look at what their speaker contract has. It's not outside the realm, it's not considered, you know, discourteous to ask for an honorarium, or at least pay for your travel, pay for your hotel. If a big draw for their conference is you as the speaker, they're banking on you to help bring in the attendance, the very least that they can do is take care of your travel arrangements. And then maybe an honorarium or another speaking fee. It's not discourteous at all to ask for this. And I remember about a year ago on Design Twitter, this conversation really kind of peaked, and it was a very healthy debate about this online. There was a couple of conference organizers that said, look, we don't pay you. This is all experience. I'm sorry, not experience. It's exposure. This is good for you. And a lot of people got really upset really quickly, because it basically said that we don't value you as a speaker. We value you in helping to bring the crowd, the attendance here, but we're not going to pay you for that. And that caused a lot of backlash. There were certain conferences, some that are not here anymore. There were certain conferences that their organizers had that stance, and there was a lot of boycotts that had happened. And some conferences really changed the way that they do things. Others always took the approach of paying for speakers. I remember that my time with AIGA, there was kind of the understood that we don't pay for speakers. And I really felt that that was not a good practice to set up, because we're asking people to do free work. And AIGA had the stance on spec work inside the design industry, and it wasn't too dissimilar from that. So I felt that that was something that we do need to change. And there have been a number of people who've joined AIGA boards that are helping to change that mentality. And then you have folks with IXDA, International Design, Interaction Design Association, that some groups, they're volunteer based, and some, well, hey, we're going to bring in a speaker, we're going to bring him in for the night, and set this person up with a hotel just so that it's worth their time. And it's something that you have to look at and say, is this something for you? If you are looking at a big conference that you can speak at and you're being considered for it, ask. And if they offer something, great. If they don't, something you have to really kind of consider. And we can really go down the rabbit hole on speaker fees and, what's right, what's wrong. I really don't have much of an answer on this, because my own personal outlook is like, I don't ever expect to be paid as a speaker. But maybe it's because I haven't been in the right speaking, gigs yet, and I'm more than happy than just sharing my knowledge, because I just want to see people do cool shit. Maybe my own mentality and my own outlook is just different, but I understand where a lot of folks who are asked to speak at a conference that are not submitting proposals, but conferences are coming to them, be like, hey, we'd love to have you at our conference. Oh, by the way, we're not going to pay you. That's kind of wrong. So that's a whole thing that you'd have to kind of look at and consider about speaking at a conference. There's always the technical logistics stuff, what you need to set up. One of the things that I have been really kind of harping on and really centered on is making sure that conferences, they're inclusive. So beyond just, code of conduct and whatnot, but I found that WordCamps do this really well, is that there's closed captioning for the speaker, so that folks with hard of hearing or different hearing impairments be able to still enjoy the conference experience as well. So that's something that I always look at as well. How inclusive is your approach for the conference? And then really the homework comes down to you is creating your topic, creating your slides, creating your interactions, creating whatever, whatever materials that you're going to be showing, whether it's a typical slide deck where you're showing some slides and talking to stuff, maybe it's a completely different interactive experience. Maybe you're doing a workshop. You need to have what materials you need to run the workshop correctly. That's the hard part, is getting that stuff down pat. So if you're giving a session, a talk, practice it. Get it kind of nailed down. You're not going to 100% nail it down unless you're doing this a lot. Get used to the cadence. Get used to the rhythm and the flow of how you want to present things, because that will differentiate you from an inexperienced speaker to someone who's very memorable and would be liked to be asked back or asked to come to other conferences. Their ability for public speaking. That might scare the hell out of many of you who are like, look, I'm an introvert. I don't want to be the Tony Robbins of this thing. I don't want to get up there and do that, but I want to share stuff. You're going to have to find a way that's going to be conducive for you. I have actually seen a session where the speaker said, look, I'm going to turn around and face this giant screen, and I'm going to give you the best presentation, but you're only going to see the back of my head. And I thought, okay, this is going to be interesting. And hands down, it was definitely one of the best presentations of the entire experience at that conference. It was a development talk on JavaScript. I remember her talk vividly. She did a fantastic job. She joked with the crowd, and nope, we never made eye contact with her until at the very end. She turned around, smiled, and thanked everybody. And at the outset, it seemed, you know, a little odd, but did I really care at the end of the day? No. So find the method that's going to really help you in your delivery of your session. And then lastly, all the same tips and tricks as an attendee apply, you know, talking with other folks, listening to attendees and other speakers, ask good questions, because if you're giving a talk at a conference, maybe you're Rambo and you're doing like three and you're just back to back to back. At some point still, you are not going to be on the stage and you're going to revert back to an attendee. And all the same kind of tips and tricks apply. So the value of conferences. I've talked a lot about, you know, how to go to one as an attendee, how to prepare for one as a speaker. What value do conferences still provide? I remember this was also a hotly debated, unpopular opinion tweet about 9 months ago or almost a year ago, you know, the value of conferences. So let's talk about, you know, one of the first things when it comes to value is the price. There are a lot of conferences that are super expensive. I look at an Event Apart. I've been to one, an Event Apart. I went to New York, and it's a great conference. Great 3 days, awesome. $1,000. I remember when I asked my boss, hey, could I go to this? And his initial sticker shock was, holy shit, for $1,000, you better come back knowing the inside and out of JavaScript. I did get better, but I don't know the whole thing at all. So, but yeah, conferences, you know, really good ones are worth their time. They're worth, you know, the sticker price. I remember looking at Event Apart and being like, wow, all right, why is this so expensive? And when I went, I remember, wow, great venue, really good speakers, really well-organized stuff. Now I understand why it's $1,000. This is a great conference experience. Everything's well-organized, well-oiled machine. It's totally worth this much. I look at some of the UX certification conferences from Nielsen Norman Group. You know, you have like 3 days or 5 days, $3,000, $5,000. Tough. But you know what? You go to those things, you come out with certifications from Nielsen Norman Group. If you put the time in, those are more like classes and like workshops, not just like here's a whole bunch of speakers. Like, you're getting tested on stuff afterwards, and you got some industry recognized certification from a group that's well recognized and respected. You know, those are fantastic. Sure, expensive, yes, but you're coming out with something more than just saying, oh, hey, yeah, I heard this guy talk about this thing at this show. So, and then there's also a lot of other conferences that are totally less than, you know, $1,000. I went to Offset Dublin in 2019. I gave a talk there, which was awesome because I never thought, oh, I'm going to put my name in for an international conference. And holy shit, I got picked. So I went to Dublin, and I remember just the regular attendee price was 200 euro, like close to $300 some. I don't know, my math's wrong. But 2 days, great conference, you know, that little. I mean, and I remember the production value that they had at that conference was awesome. So Generate Conference is one, a big one. I really like going to there. It's super affordable. So value. There's a lot of conferences that run the gamut of, hey, it's $25 for a ticket to, eh, it's $5,000 for an entire week. So when you look at that, then you really ask, what's the value that a conference is providing that is unique and valuable and positive over online learning, over other types of interactions and events? Well, I think that conferences do a couple things. One, it is an opportunity for you to meet people in your industry, whether they are designers, whether they're project managers, you know, whatever their discipline that they work within. But if you're going to a conference, there's some uniting force, some uniting factor why they're there. I've been to UX Burlington, and I've met a bunch of project managers there. This is a UX conference, but I've met project managers there that want to make sure that they understand user experience research. They want to understand, you know, contextual inquiry, and they're there to learn just as much. So it's a great way to learn from other industry professionals that you work within, even if they're cross-disciplinary. The other thing that I find that conferences provide a lot of value is it's almost like a litmus test to see where the industry is going. So I focus a lot on design, and I also focus a lot on leadership conferences. And I can say, without a doubt, the leadership conferences are very interesting because there is a lot of literature about leadership and, you know, business development and creating successful organizations, successful teams that are going to do great work. And every year, every conference I go to, there's some new literature that came out, some new book or some new methodology or some sort of approach that sometimes feel like we've come full circle, like, oh, the old is new again. And then there's a lot of things that are being talked about, and people are like, well, let's test it out, let's try it out. And what I find is that when I go to these conferences, things that were the hot new thing that have been tried and kind of put through its paces, it didn't really pan out, or some of the basics are we always come back to. So I find that conferences, in a way, are a litmus test when you're talking with other individuals that are in your field and finding out what are some of the same problems that they're having that you have. What are the same concerns or the same worries or the same opportunities for growth or the same insights? What things have worked really well with some same solutions that are helping to push things forward? So I remember strength-based leadership being something that was very much talked about at a leadership conference. And the next year I went to it, there was much more of a push on DISC personality types. So it was almost like an evolution from strength-based to emotional intelligence and, you know, DISC personality to kind of further it along. So that was interesting. And I've seen the same thing within design as well. Design has evolved over time to be less about, you know, the craft and the visual to a fundamental portion of the problem-solving mechanism that good businesses try to solve for their customers. So that's where I feel like conferences also have their value. I can't understate enough, the value, or I can't, overstate enough, really, I should say, the value of networking. When I first started going to conferences, I'm almost 7 feet tall. I am 6'7". I am 390 pounds. You cannot miss me at a conference. I'm like Bigfoot. So I was always very conscientious about talking with folks and making myself look like an ass or seeing like, you know, the noob or anything. But I can say that one of the best things that has ever happened for me in my career is the network that I have between developers, designers, project managers, business folks, people that I've met at conferences that we have shared interests. Hey, I have a thing that could really help you out. I have a lot of knowledge in this area, or I know someone who has a lot of knowledge in this area. Let me introduce you to this. And over the course of my career, I have definitely benefited from the network that I've built up. And I could say, oh yeah, I met this person at this conference, or, you know, I've helped this person learn about this thing, now they've moved into this job or this realm because we met at a conference years ago. I think that that's such a powerful thing that you don't get anywhere else, unless you're, I don't even know where else you would get it. I think really conferences are where it's at. So I think there's a lot of intrinsic value that conferences have that they offer, especially if you go to the right ones, the ones that take their code of conduct seriously, have very clear programming, have very clear goals, and are meant to help push the industry forward. So I believe conferences as a whole are incredibly valuable events, incredibly valuable for whatever industry that you're in, whether it is design, whether it's leadership. I've definitely seen the value that it brings to the medical profession. Hell, I have even seen it from the Home Builders Association. I have seen it from home improvement conferences, sales conferences. I've learned a lot at a bunch of different conferences that are all trying to help push things forward, make more meaningful change. Conference follow-up is something that a lot of people don't really kind of think about, is that say you're going to a conference and your work is sending you, hey, we're going to send you to this. We would love to hear what comes out of this that you could help us with this such and such problem. So it's definitely good to do a decomp after a conference, share what you've learned, share the resources with your greater team or your group of friends, you know, whatever. Share what you've learned, push it forward, push it out, and share it with other folks so that it can continue to grow and maybe even create opportunities for you to speak on that same topic at another place. Post-conference, definitely share your notes. Take your notes and, you know, write them in a way that's going to be helpful for you to follow up with then and be like, make some context around them. And then, you know, plan to take the information that you get from a conference and implement it. Try it out. See if it works for you or not. This is very similar then to like regular education, you know, classes and workshops. You know, things that you're going to learn from a conference can be then tested, validated or invalidated, remixed, and then internalized so that you can take a flavor of what you learned and then utilize it for your own benefit and your own situation. So we've definitely talked a lot about conferences, and I want to hear from you. I want to make these episodes very interactive. I've had some really great experiences at conferences over the last 10 years. I have been a part of them. I have definitely learned a ton at conferences. I've met some amazing people. I've also spoken at conferences and have had people follow up with me about stuff, whether it's something that they found incredible value or they've taught me something new that I got wrong. I think that that's incredibly humbling and a great experience. But I want to hear what your thoughts are. What interests you about a certain conference? What interests you? Like, what do you want to get out of one? What conference would you like to attend? You know, let me know. Hit me up on Twitter. Email me here. I'd love to see and learn from you about your experience as an attendee. Any tips or tricks that you have as a speaker, or just questions that you might have about the experience of going to conferences and how to make the most out of your first experience. So I think I've spoken for about an hour, and I really want to thank you for coming with me on this topic tonight. This was one that I thought would be very interesting, and definitely would like to, like I said, continue the conversation online. So thank you, everyone. Again, I want to let you know that all the topics, the thoughts, and everything, they are completely my own. They do not represent my current company or my past organizations that I work for. All my thoughts, rants, ravings are all coming from my own perspective. They do not reflect anyone else except for me. So with that, I will let you guys go. Have a great night, and we'll see you on the next episode.